BIPOC farmers disproportionately face the detrimental impacts of institutional oppression. The agricultural players have deprived farmers of access to capital. Reparative capital is needed to build thriving businesses and shift control and power back to marginalized communities to support self-determination. Hello, and welcome to the Just and Sustainable Economy podcast. I'm Isaac Graves. Today we'll hear from two leaders, Mark Watson of Potlucker Capital and Olivia Watkins of Black Farmer Fund, in a conversation on regeneration and what systemic approaches to multi-layered impact they're deploying to address these very issues. Let's dive right in.
Potlucker is around really gathering what we call reparative capital, which is a double entendre of repair and reparations, acknowledging that the debt is actually on society's balance sheet, not on the farmer. And taking those resources and helping them to stabilize the farms that they have. There are less than 3% of farms of color in this country at this stage and shrinking. And also giving them the tools. Jubilee Justice has a partnership with Cornell University and some other folks like Nat Ag to move to the front of the bus and actually use regenerative farming practices to save Mother Earth. So it's a big project with a lot of largesse. It includes things like a fisheries quota trust that we're developing, a small tractor trust where we can lend out equipment, like a library. Just very innovative cooperatives that allow farmers to enjoy the value of their product as it moves through the value chain, so cooperative processing mills. But those are all pieces of the puzzle that both Potlucker and Jubilee Justice are working together. And I'm happy to talk more about that tonight. But I wanted to just start because I'm old, and Olivia's a new breed. And Olivia's a farmer and a financier. And one body and a brilliant brain at that. And I wanted to talk to you, since we're talking about systems change, how do you think those attributes help you run Black Farmer Fund and offer system change approach to the communities you work with?
I definitely attest and honor a lot of the multifaceted ways that I show up in this world to the organizations and the people who taught me, the people who come before me. Watching my mom as a nonprofit runner and the Boys and Girls Club in Rochelle, and seeing the way that she moved in the community, not only as someone who would go out and raise money, but then would come back and instill programs in her community. And that was something that I grew up seeing her do. As a farmer, being able to work on farms in Hawaii and working alongside Hawaiians and indigenous communities in Hawaii and seeing the ways that they organize people around food. So we wouldn't only grow food, we would also gather people, eat food together, talk about policy, talk about change. And most recently, I worked at an organization called Soulfire Farm that I'm now on the board of, and Soulfire has been a true instrument of change for racial justice in the food system, not only through their reach that they have in terms of being able to share and spread storytelling, stories that are important and that have been lost, bringing in a new generation of young farmers to be able to lead and enhance some of the changes. So those are all the teachers that I've had, especially in the farming space. And as I was in those spaces, I was realizing, okay, people are really great at organizing and gathering. We're really great at advocating for policy. We're really great and the best in the world at growing food because we were brought to this land because we knew how to grow food. But what about access to capital? Like, who is doing that and what does that look like? And I decided that was something that I wanted to be a part of. And so I went back to school to get an MBA. And it was a very interesting process of combining, this movement organizing background that I had with balance sheets and cash flow statements and things that don't make sense in that world, but realizing that it was going to be incredibly crucial if I wanted to be able to fund and support the organizations that meant the most to me and that were going to create the real change that I needed to be able to translate that language and to make it more accessible for my community. Yeah.
I'll answer the same question.
Yeah.
At this stage of life, you know, most of us in this room have been part of, you know, interesting transactions. And yet, the model hasn't changed the way society works. And I'm about systems change now. And systems change means multiple ways that, to connect with the ecosystem. And so, Potluck and Jubilee, we started as a new institution, not a project, not a fund, but a platform for BIPOC farmers to advocate for their needs, to access capital, and to build a community amongst themselves. Realizing that there were no institutions, the two of us represent the only two institutions I know of that are really focused on BIPOC farmers. Not the USDA, not the banks, not the insurance companies. These two institutions were just started in the last 24 months. So I see this as a huge opportunity to teach the ecosystem how to treat our communities. Meaning, Conda and I recently had an opportunity to talk to the Black Congressional Caucus in South Carolina. South Carolina is one of the first destinations of Africans. We are in the middle of talking with Native communities in Oklahoma. Oklahoma happens to be the largest number, has the largest number of FSA loans that were going to be forgiven, which is now stuck in courts, more than double any other state in the union of, quote, socially disadvantaged farmers, just Black and Native communities. So here's an opportunity to blend policy, which we learned about just earlier, capital and knowledge, and roll it up in a ball and use it as a way to progress these communities. And so this is a very exciting prospect for me. It also has a personal note. 6 million African Americans moved from the South to the North starting in the 20s. There were two waves. The first wave ended in the 40s. My family was in the cusp of that. The rationale for a lot of that movement was really Jim Crow and independence and opportunity. My family moved from Louisiana and gave up their farm and moved to Chicago, as did many other African Americans. Native communities and Hawaiian families, we all have our different versions of that. So think about less than 4% of the food production being controlled by our own communities, and yet we were disproportionately impacted by multiple pandemics in the last 24 months, and how little assets we have if we're not controlling the means of production and feeding our own communities. So that's why I'm interested in this.
Can you talk a little bit more about the systemic change that you're looking to create and the different levels that come before that?
Sure. So when we design this approach, we want to have an impact on three levels. There's certainly the transaction level, where you are helping farmers, for example, who have to collateralize three times the value of the loan versus a white farm. So we certainly want to use philanthropic and low-interest investment capital to cure that issue. The second issue is we learn in communities. We just talked about circles of knowledge. Regenerative farming, which is actually practiced by the Native community many years ago, is not new. It's just been rebranded. So we want to encourage communities, and we will invest in clusters around the country, to, again, build communities of practice of excellence around regenerative farming. And the third piece, from a systemic level, is, as was described before, you need to create crucibles that can collect federal support, state support, and advocate. And no one farmer or no one community can do that, but if you have an entity that you're able to gather around and support, it may allow them to recoup some of the tax dollars that are going to white farmers and policy initiatives that are supporting large corporate farmers and bring that food back home to their own communities. Let me ask you the same question.
Yeah, I think that looking at it on that three-level approach is incredibly important because there has just been so much harm that has been done over centuries, and there are going to be multiple different ways and strategies to address some of the issues. And also, you know, in addition to that, we need to make sure that, you know, as we're creating our funds, we're not replicating some of the, you know, harmful effects that have happened. So, you know, thinking about at the individual level, what's the most important thing? Relationship building, right? A lot of our people have been in situations where transactions were prioritized, and as a result, they got screwed over. Especially with thinking about, you know, as you were just mentioning, some of the USDA loans that were promised to farmers, or farmers were held up in a process and got denied. The USDA was sued in the 90s. There was a huge case, Pickford v. Glickman, and $2 million was in a settlement for black farmers. But when you kind of broke apart the different, you know, pieces and checks, it was only $40,000 per farmer. You know, so there are some of these attempts that have happened around system change that have failed, because what is a farmer going to do with $40,000? Buy a tractor and, you know, can't buy land. You can't do other things in addition to that. So, you know, really we wanted to prioritize being able to put relationships first in the individuals. So that means, you know, driving, you know, to go do site visits, bringing food with us, bringing the whole, you know, investment team with us, lugging rocks with them while talking about their financial models, digging trenches with them literally to help them drain soil, and also talking about other ways that they can improve their business model, and like developing that level of trust. You know, outside of just being somebody who is, you know, stewarding capital in our communities, is something that is important to us. At the communities level, you know, shifting power, right? As Nick just said, shifting power, resources, money into our communities has been incredibly important for not only, you know, just being a money mover into our communities, but actually having our communities have voice and influence on how that money is being distributed. Because oftentimes we have, you know, large institutions, especially land grant institutions, that will come to, you know, five different organizations, and they'll say, "We just got a $1 million grant. We want to give each of you $40,000." Like what is that going to do, right? If you're, you know, continuing to use tactics to divide and separate organizations, to have them, you know, fight over, you know, small pieces of a larger pie. So, you know, we decided that we wanted to involve our community in the, not only the aspect of resourcing our organization, but also of deciding how investments are made in our organization, which is been the most important part of our work, because it also develops a level of accountability where multiple people and organizations will surround the farmer to ensure the success of the farmer. And then on the larger level, systemic level, right, combining these two things, you know, systems change takes a very, very long time, especially when you're trying to undo, you know, generations of harm. And so, you know, we partner with several different organizations. There's a new organization that came up, Black Farmers United in New York State, and they work with the state government around accessing capital from the state budget, being able to give land back to Northeast Farmers of Color Land Trust, which is an indigenous-led land trust in the Northeast, to be able to give scholarship programs to Cornell University for farmers who are interested, black farmers who are interested in farming, and being able to create policy to eradicate some of the urban and rural divide that we're seeing in New York. And in addition to that, working with some of the education programs, Soul Fire Farm, Farm School NYC, to cultivate this returning generation of farmers, like myself, who are, you know, realizing the importance of us being able to hold on to family land, to be able to support other folks in protecting land, and being trained on the knowledge and insight and resources that we need to be able to do that. So it's about, you know, partnering with other organizations, it's about making sure that we're involved in some of the shifts that are happening outside of our organization, and working, collectively and collaboratively, and also encouraging investors and people who have access to capital, to give us that money and, be patient with it, because it's going to take an incredibly long time to undo some of those harms, and, we're doing the thing.
I would offer Jubilee and Poliver, which are both, we have farmer-led boards and farmer-led investment committees. In fact, we have, we believe, the only black crop insurance broker in the United States. There's only one male, and there's one female, and they work together. But that gives you a picture of how desolate and how ravaged this part of the market has been. But with that, I wanted to say that Olivia and I wanted to present to you together to model behavior that is resident in our own communities. It's not competitive, but that we're in relationship, and that we intend to lend together and find opportunities together and broker power back and forth, together with other folks too. But we were intentional around wanting to present to this community together. So I wanted to say that. My call to action, if we're rounding up near the end, is all of us have capital. It might be knowledge, it might be finance, it might be political. When you make these deployments, we're asking you to ask more of the funds and of the projects that you actually make decisions to fund. Like, ask them, what are they doing with respect to systems change? And how are they collecting the evidence? And how are they partnering with other funds or other entities in the same space? I mean, you have the ability to have that conversation. I do it, and I make investments as well. Some other projects that I'm involved. But that's the moment to encourage and push the dial and not just reduce your prism to just what gave me the term sheet, and it's in the right space, and you claim that as a win. It's more about leveraging the investment that you make with all these other types of capital. So my call to action is certainly provide philanthropy and funding for both of our funds, but also ask for those other metrics, those other returns that are difficult to produce.
And also I would add that, some of the really great relationships that we've had with funders so far have been ambassadors for our work. They've done the legwork for us around educating other investors, high net worth individuals, foundations, on why the type of work that we're doing is incredibly important, and why we're doing it in the way that we're doing it, and how, the work that we're doing, looks completely different than, some of the work that is traditionally done in impact investing. I think that is, also one of the more crucial parts of our work, because, we're very picky as well about who we, decide to build a relationship with. Because if we're not externally building relationships with investors and donors that align with us, we can't reflect that internally back in our community. So that is also definitely an ask.
And in close, I just wanted to say, there actually is an SBC or ASBC-SBC member that actually funded both of these organizations. I mean, that's somebody that had vision, someone from our community, and that's where we're sitting here. So, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Mark Watson of Potlicker Capital and Olivia Watkins of Black Farmer Fund. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. And a special thank you to all of our guests for joining us on the Just and Sustainable Economy podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review. ASBN informs, connects, and mobilizes business leaders and investors to transform the public and private sectors towards a just and sustainable economy. And we invite you. We invite you to build it alongside us. Visit us at asbnetwork.org and consider joining the movement. I'm Isaac Graves. Thanks for listening.